Hey everybody, Josh Searson of World Alternative Media here, and of course we're joined by Tim Pachote of the Liberty Advisor. And you know, something that we've been hearing a lot about lately is the behemoth that is debt worldwide, and no doubt that it's something that's concerning a lot of people. People like Jim Rickards, among many others, have been coming out about it lately, and I want to kind of go into something that Jim Rickards, of course, a world-renowned economist, said recently. As it says on this Zero Hedge article, Jim Rickards warns that tsunami of debt could upend the economy. And as the article goes into, at some point, an economic problem deepens so much that the piper has to be paid. Both in the U.S. and globally, one of those problems appears to be the mountains of debt. Jim Rickards recently issued a dire proclamation about the global debt situation. As it says, current global debt levels are simply not sustainable. Debt actually is sustainable if the debt is used for projects with positive returns and if the economy supporting the debt is growing faster than the debt itself. But neither of those conditions applies today. As it continues, it says, in other words, most of the global debt we're racking up isn't being used for productive purposes. Instead, it's being used to service benefits, interest, and discretionary spending, according to Rickards. The debt growth should continue. According to the Institute of International Finance, IFF, global debt is expected to pass $255 trillion by the end of this year, and they don't see the pace of debt accumulation slowing down. In fact, you can see below how the official global debt has already skyrocketed from about $80 trillion in 1999 to this new record. And you see the chart there. As it continues, it says Zero Hedge reports that by year's end, the global debt will be roughly equivalent to a record 330% of global GDP. With debt outpacing growth by such a large margin, we are fast approaching a day of reckoning, and when that day arrives, it could be disastrous. Rickards, it's a catastrophic global debt crisis waiting to happen. Another Zero Hedge article reports, as it says, the World Bank looked at the four major episodes of debt increases that have occurred in more than 100 countries since 1970. The Latin American debt crisis of the 1980s, the Asian financial crisis of the late 1990s, and the global financial crisis from 2007 to 2009. The bank says that we're in the fourth episode now, and their prognosis isn't good. In fact, they called the failure to properly manage the global debt complacency. And I quote, the increase in debt globally has already been larger, faster, and more broad-based since the great financial crisis than in the previous three waves. This should be seen as a leading indicator for the possibility of financial crises ahead and shake up the complacency that is evident in macroeconomic policy making today with regard to increasing levels of both public and private debt. Jim Rickards thinks the trigger for an imminent global debt crisis, if one happens, would boil down to rates. Low interest rates facilitate unsustainable debt levels, at least in the short run. But with so much debt on the books, even modest rate increases will cause debt levels and deficits to explode as new borrowing is sought just to cover interest payments. He also thinks that if these debt levels and deficits spiral out of control, it won't take much to trigger a debt crisis not seen since the 1930s. World Bank President David Malpass sounded another alarm that if a crisis were to hit, and I quote, emerging and developing economies are already more vulnerable on a variety of fronts than they were ahead of the last crisis. Put simply, that means disaster for those economies if the global economy is upended. The ripple effects from such a crisis would also hit the U.S. economy hard. Once it hits, no amount of wishful thinking, denial, or ignorance will make the problem go away. So let's get into this a bit, Tim. I mean, this has been a warning from a lot of experts across the board, though recently we have seen a lot more bullishness for both the dollar as well as the markets going into 2020. I don't buy it. Honestly, I think it's possible. I mean, they could prop it up. But I mean, there comes a point when it just doesn't make any sense anymore. And we're seeing that debt come home to roost in a lot of ways. Can you go into Jim Rickards' thoughts on this in the Zero Hedge article in general? What do you think of this debt tsunami that they speak of?
Well, thanks, Joshua. I think one of the funny things that they mentioned from the article is if the debt gets out of control. I mean, I think we're well past the if the debt gets out of control. I mean, we're already well past that. I mean, worldwide, I think from the article, they mentioned that there's around $277 trillion of debt, and now of that, which about $17 trillion is negative interest rate debt. And so if you take a look at the total capitalization of the stock market, I mean, I'm just guessing here, but it's probably about 70, 80, 90, let's say the super high end, $100 trillion. Mm. It's still about a third of what the global debt market is. And so that really is the main enchilada, and that's really what's been fueling all this growth. And I do remember a quote from Jim Rickards from a few years ago when he was doing an interview, and he said that he thought that the Federal Reserve, when it came to viewing interest rate policy, acted like basically that they were, you know, using a thermostat, and they're just trying to dial things up, dial things back. But what they didn't realize is that it doesn't work like that. It's more like a nuclear reactor, and they're trying to, you know, turn this on, turn it off. I mean, a lot of people knew, especially people listening here and people, you know, different people we listen to, knew that there was no way the Federal Reserve could get away with quantitative easing. I mean, several videos pointing this out, you know, well in advance. And then last year, you know, everything culminated in October at $50 billion a month of bonds that were supposed to be sold off the balance sheet.
Right.
And now not only do we not have $50 billion a month being sold off, and now we're actually printing more money than we did during quantitative easing. And at the, and I believe the Fed's balance sheet hit its lowest peak, like right around of about August of this past year. And if you take a look just from August to now, I mean, I think we're up right around like $400 or $500 billion of the Fed's balance sheet, which means that the rate we're going now, I believe we're, and this is off the top of my head, but I think we're right around $4.1 trillion. So you add another, wait another 4 months at the rate we're going right now, and then the Fed balance sheet would actually be higher in about, you know, it's called March, April timeframe, maybe May, would be higher then than it was at its all-time peak. And then it's only going up from there. And because this is a tsunami that then cascades into many other things. And they're in a position where there is no way out of it. And really, because there's so many sides of things. Because if rates do go up, well, then that's great for people who have saved a lot of money. The problem is this economy is a Ponzi scheme that's relying on people spending money, not saving money, which is also a key difference between, you know, Keynesian economics and Austrian economics. But, you know, just take a look at like Chicago pensions right now, Illinois pensions, complete disaster. Read an article the other day that they are right now moving from like a more value defensive oriented stance to more aggressive. I'm like, great, you know, 11 years into this, and now you guys are getting more aggressive when you're only, I mean, I think they're only like 50% funded, and that's off the BS funding calculation and numbers that they use, because they always rig all these different things. But, you know, yeah, it's on a, I mean, they are eventually going to have the United States by the balls, because there's going to be nothing that we can do to get out of this. And we want to act like a big bully and bully everybody around the world. What happens when Russia and China and all these other countries, which I wouldn't say start moving away from the dollar, they've already started that process. But what happens when they complete that process? Or what happens when they're 50% of the way done with that process? Right. By then it's going to be too late, game over, nothing that we can do. And, and I will say there are things that you can do. And one of the criticisms I've seen people say is, you know, hey, you guys are always, you know, negative and bearish. And, you know, if I listened to you guys, I would have lost a bunch of money. You know, that's some of the things we see. But, you know, last year we had a great year. And I put out a video October 3rd of 2018 saying, hey, I think the market's going to go down. This is what I've done ahead of time. And so I have a strategy where if the market crashes, we have different mechanisms that would then go counter to the stock market that would protect people's accounts. And it worked in, you know, around this time last year when, you know, all the cavalry was called by Mnuchin doing the plunge protection team, all that stuff. And then it also worked this year because even for people who got in at the worst time possible, I mean, I think every client saw double digit gains. I mean, many people were over 20% who were in the strategy right from the get-go. So here I am being bearish, and yeah, we're still up, you know, give or take 20%, but everyone has individual portfolios. So I'm not running a fund. And so, you know, depending on when they got in, option, I mean, all these little hedge statements I've got to make, you know, past performance.
So, right. And for people interested, they can become a client of Tim's below. There's a link, a bit.ly link below in the comments as well as the description. But I wanted to ask you, Tim, with the stranglehold of debt getting tighter and tighter, what does that mean for you went into a whole bunch of issues that are arising this year going into the next year. What does that mean for the average person, the average individual in the United States in the year 2020? Because obviously, like, it's one thing, we can't really properly predict anything down to the detail, obviously. It's next to impossible. There's no fundamentals these days. But with that said, I mean, what does this debt tsunami mean for the average person watching, so that they can kind of take some of this information home and maybe apply it?
Well, that's where, you know, things get interesting, because it depends on, you know, what average person you're talking about. I mean, if you're talking about the average millennial, I just read the average millennial has a subprime credit score. And so, you know, they're not going to be able to take advantage of these low rates. They're already at 17, you know, to 25, 26% rates in this type of environment. So they're already getting screwed. And then you take a look at, you know, let's say your average baby boomer. Okay, your average baby boomer only has, let's say, $250,000 saved. And that's not even average. That's probably above average. And so, you know, you're in a position where it doesn't really matter how things shake out. Even if they shake out in a good way, most people, there's no way they can retire. They're going to live, you know, very kind of meager retirements. And that's just based off the facts of what the, if you take a look at what the median numbers are, and median is probably, you know, better than like the average, because guys like Bill Gates help, you know, distort those averages. But, you know, you take a look at the, you know, the average person out there, and, you know, maybe it means that, you know, it's, you know, being able, if the rates are kept low artificially, like I believe they will be kept low, then, you know, what that means is, you know, for the average person that has maybe 40% of their money in bonds or in savings, or, you know, something very, very, quote unquote, safe, you know, they're going to earn basically next to nothing on, you know, about half their portfolio. And so,
okay, well, how does this end up, you know, working out for the people out there that don't have their money invested at all, have their don't put their money into anything? I mean, because obviously, if the dollar goes down, it's going to affect everyone. It goes without saying. And I find most of the people I talk to, not only do they not save at all, or they don't have their money put in any plans, but on top of that, they literally have absolutely no idea where the US dollar even comes from. So, I mean, the average person on the street, how is it going to affect them? Inflation, prices going up? What do you think?
Well, I think, you know, if you've heard the saying, you know, if you don't have anything, you don't have anything to lose. And so that's a very dangerous, you know, standpoint. When, what if, you know, the dollar, I mean, I don't think this will happen in 2020, but, you know, if the dollar ends up, you know, absolutely collapsing, or now that we can't even afford to pay food stamps, or the food stamps don't buy enough food, then, you know, that's when people start rioting. That's why, you know, we've seen people cover what's going on in France. You see people covering on all these different protests around the world. Even right now, you know, China, they're having a lot of problems with, you know, pork prices up over like 110%, and their food price inflation is up like close to 20%. But it's a good thing food isn't counted in inflation. So I guess their official statistics won't really matter when it comes to that. But yeah, I mean, for the average person that's out there right now, I mean, they don't really have too much. So, but unfortunately, what that means is they're probably going to then say, you know, look for, you know, someone like Andrew Yang that's promising $1,000 a month for everyone, or looking for, you know, something for free, because they're not going to be the ones who are going to be the ones that are going to be paying the taxes on this. And so I think, unfortunately, the average person is going to be begging for more of their own enslavement. And I don't think that's a very wild prediction, but, you know, if you're asking what they can do, you know, if everything ends up collapsing and the debt ends up collapsing, then that would be great for people who didn't have anything. And so in that case, you'd want to actually learn some sort of skill, be able to trade something for value. So then that way, if the asset prices do collapse in value, that then you can then scoop them up. And so what we're seeing the Fed do is they're trying to make things more affordable, but by their definition of affordable, it's just being able to afford a minimum payment. But whereas, you know, if the housing prices cost, you know, 2/3 less, then I think that would also make them affordable. But then you'd have to look at, well, what would be better? It would be better if you were at a 7% mortgage in a $200,000 house, or would it be better at, if you were at a, you know, a 3%, 3.5% mortgage, you know, on a, you know, $450,000 house? And I guess, okay, you know, so, easily figure out the numbers, but yeah, they just want to game things, because all the collateral right now that the banks have is based on these inflated numbers. And so if these numbers, so if the asset values go down, then so does all the collateral, the whole entire system, and then the whole system implodes. And so they have to make everything keep going up and up and up in value. Otherwise the whole, you know, house of cards comes crumbling down. And we saw last year, it only took about 2 months for them to have to completely renege on every single thing that they said they're going to do. And yeah, I mean, it's very hard to predict what the average person, because it, you know, depends if you're, you know, Republican or Democrat, or, you know,
it varies definitely quite greatly. Before we wrap it up and go into the solutions and stuff like that, I want to quickly ask if you can put this into the most simplistic terms possible. A lot of people, I still see it all the time. They say, well, what about a debt jubilee? Does that make any sense at all to you, that there could possibly be a, I mean, I don't know. I've heard people say this. I don't think they put a lot of thought into it, to be honest, but I hear it all the time. What about a debt jubilee? Does that make any sense?
Well, I mean, it makes sense in the standpoint that when you have a debt that you can never repay, that, you know, at some point, you know, you might as well, you know, there's something you have to do. But if you then build the system back on a system that is backed by a debt-based monetary system, then it doesn't really matter. because that is the major problem and the crux of the situation. And so when Trump came to office, I said, listen, you know, I'm glad he was there. I did a lot to try to get him there. But, you know, if he did 1,000 things I wanted to do, or let's say he did 999, but the one he didn't do was, you know, quote, unquote, you know, fix or get rid of, or at least, you know, have the public, you know, get some anger at the Fed, but for the right reasons, not for the reasons that yeah. he's getting people angry at the Fed. Then at that point, you know, he was worthless to me, and it would be anybody would be worthless to me. So, you know, and unfortunately, you know, that has been squandered. You know, we have Jerome Powell in there, who's more business as usual, and
yeah.
And now I forgot what the question was.
just the idea of a debt jubilee and how practical that could possibly be.
Well, here's the thing: okay, what if America decides to cancel out the debt? Well, right now, the Social Security Trust Fund is basically a cabinet that's about the size of the cabinet behind me, but with fancier locks on it. Maybe it's twice as high. And they've got, you know, I forgot how many trillions of dollars of IOUs in there. And those IOUs act as collateral for other debt. And so fine, wipe out the debt. And then all of a sudden, and there goes all the retirees' money. And then they have to jack it up on people like me, because that is a Ponzi scheme. The entire Social Security system is an outright Ponzi scheme. And I for one, and, you know, and unfortunately, the millennials, we're the ones getting screwed on this. Gen Z is going to be getting screwed on this. Even probably the one, Gen X are probably getting screwed in this too. And so by everyone, you know, especially millennials who want to, you know, have more government paying for things, who do you think should be the ones paying for it? The baby boomers when they stop working, or you? You're the one that's going to be paying for it. And I'm not talking about our average listener here when I'm saying you out there. I'm talking about, you know, your idiot friends you went to school with, you know, like liberals. But, you know, it's just, you know, it's just maddening seeing that the situation that's, you know, so predictable. And you can manage things for a while. You can manage a debt-based system for a while. But eventually, that same liquidity that is needed to be a worldwide reserve currency, is that same liquidity ends up bringing down the currency. I believe that's called Triffin's dilemma, I think is what's called. But yeah, I mean, whoever Triffin was, I think came up with this probably before you and I were even born. So, I mean, this was, well, people knew about this, you know, that back when this was even created, you know, during Bretton Woods.
Right.
Yeah, so it's just, that's the worst part about this, is that slow-moving time bomb we've all seen.
It's so, one thing that's driving me crazy, and we'll get to the solutions right away. I can't help but, so like today, for example, I went to someone's house and they had a Fox News on the TV, and they were talking with Bill de Blasio, and they started talking to him about the homelessness in New York City. And he just started going into, well, affordable housing, this thing, that thing. This is a thing that people don't seem to understand. And it would have actually helped his case, because he's getting attacked for the homelessness. He could just be like, well, that's off my hands for the most part. That's mostly due to inflation. That's mostly due to printing of currency. That's mostly due to just the price of living skyrocketing while wages stay about stagnant. And obviously, then they come in and try to fix the problem with more problems by raising the wage, which causes businesses to go out of town and causes more problems. It's a stranglehold of debt. Debt is one of the most dangerous things that people are up against. Yeah, you could use it for good. We've all heard Robert Kiyosaki. We've interviewed him here. But one of the things I find really interesting is that people just ignore the real problems and try to find new things to, you know, fix the problems, which end up being more entrenchment by government, more problems by the government, more central planning, all that kind of stuff. So I do want to just point out, and I've said it a million times and I'll say it again, if they shove you down that pit of debt, you're forced to ask for a ladder up from the government and the banking system. And that just puts you in a really, really vulnerable situation. That's exactly where the establishment wants you, because if you are in that situation, that means you're quite subservient. And anyway, I want to wrap up this video by going into some of the solutions, because I believe there are more solutions than there are problems at the end of the day. And, you know, the usual food, water, shelter, self-defense, gold and silver, in my opinion, just as wealth insurance, not meant as investment advice or anything like that, and decentralized, properly, fundamentally useful cryptocurrencies. I believe that we will find freedom via technology, because the establishment is trying to utilize technology to enslave us. So, you know, they're onto something. We need to just build faster from our end. And the free market is always so much more efficient than the state. So I think we will, if we actually put our mind to it. But Tim, as we close it off, can you give people a quick wrap up of what do you think are good solutions for people, and how they can get involved in being your client?
Yeah, thanks, Josh. I mean, I sort of already gave the pitch a little bit early on, but, you know, sort of the proof is in the pudding. I have probably about over 100 podcasts I've put out, you know, tons of information. Anyone wants to fact check me. And, you know, the proof is in the pudding of how our portfolio management worked. When the things were going way down last year, we saw our clients lose very little money at all. And then when things went way back up this year because of Fed money printing, which I called in a video, I think was exactly a year ago yesterday, then we saw our clients portfolio skyrocket this way. And so, you know, we're running a strategy where it worked, you know, in an absolute decline, you know, catastrophic loss, or it would also work in an event where the Fed was printing a bunch of money. And so we've already been running it. We've seen how it's worked, and, you know, no complaints from any of our clients. And, you know, and for most people, they are, you know, are loving what's going on right now. And so we know what the most our clients can possibly lose is. I mean, if you're watching this right now, do you have any idea about your IRA or 401k that if, let's say, 2008 were to happen tomorrow, you know, what your likely max drawdown would be? I mean, you probably have no idea. And so we're willing to take people on. We're running portfolios for, you know, as little as, you know, $50,000. We're running portfolios. You know, we're doing extra things too. So if people are interested in like self-directed IRAs where they can truly do different alternative investments and crypto and, you know, all, right, you know, golden IRAs, all sorts of different things that we're able to offer people. Mm-hmm. Most advisors don't do, but we also have clients who don't have any gold, don't have any crypto, don't have anything exotic, and they just want to have good retirement advice. And then I'm personally doing financial plans for people who have more than $400,000 with me. That amount's probably getting jacked up very, very soon here as we're bringing on more help here. So, you know, take advantage of being able to talk to me while you still can. I mean, this is sort of like, you know, if you're able to get a hold of, you know, Peter Schiff back in the day, except the only difference between me and Peter is that while people are waiting this out and we're preaching a very similar cataclysmic type message, except people that are waiting it out with me have been making money, and people who are waiting out with him, by and large, you know, depending when anyone can go look up his mutual funds, you'll see that, you know, they've not been doing very well, especially if you're sitting mainly in gold or a lot of these foreign companies. And so we had a strategy where, you know, either way, we're going to win on it. I'm not really sure why other people aren't doing it. I think, you know, you and I did an article on like Dalio a few months ago where he was shorting, and I was mentioning that was probably more of a hedge on the S&P. Very similar tactic we're doing. It's working out for people. And so if you want to have, you know, more information on that, you can, you know, book link down below. You can go to libertyadvisor.com, or if you want to see all the media and propaganda I put out, well, most of it's here, but you can also see it at the libertyadvisorshow.com. And then John and I, the Economic Truth, we're doing a Discord where people can get articles, get learnified, and get all sorts of different knowledge and all this different stuff.
Excellent. Well, anyway, I definitely recommend people check out that link below. We got the Bitly link if you want to get involved with Tim. And finishing it off, I want everyone to write "end the Fed." It's super simple. Just write "end the Fed" below in the comments. It helps with the algorithm. It helps us know that people are actually watching the videos to the end. So we really appreciate that. It's good to see people watching these all the way through and trying to soak up the information as much as possible. And also because, you know, YouTube has been demonetizing us every single day. It's like $10 a day profit from monetization lately. It's unbelievably tragic.
I
really,
the NASDAQ video got demonetized, and there wasn't a single swear word in there. I mean, I was very careful.
No. At this point, Tim, they're just going after literally every video, and then they remonetize it after like 2 days when there's like two or three views coming in because our views get frozen after like a day and a half. It's gotten to the point where it's just impossible to produce content here anymore. So we are on float.app. That's float.app. And consider checking out the links below. GoFundMe, Patreon, Subscribestar, pledge to us, help keep independent media alive. Also help us because, you know, we've been shadow banned. They've cut us down 80% in viewership since the beginning of the year. And it's actually starting to take down more than that. And we're heading closer to 90% now, 90% down in monetization. It's getting worse every month. It's impossible. I'm selling all of my things, getting out of my house, getting out of my vehicle, all my contracts, everything. In order to be able to continue producing content, I'm actually moving to the other side of the world, partially in Africa, partially in Europe, partially in Asia over the end of 2020 so that I can continue doing this because it's not sustainable to do it in North America anymore. So with that said, make sure to check out those links. Again, 80% down since February or January. Susan Wojcicki, the CEO of YouTube, just came out and said that they've been purposely cutting accounts down 70% in viewership if they have controversial content. Well, apparently talking about the most basic fundamentals of money is controversial. So that tells you all you need to know about these people and what kind of information they want or do not want you to know about. So anyway, don't be indoctrinated. Don't be a slave. Break free from the systems. Decentralize everything. Be responsible and be self-sustainable, and you will live a happy life and a very fulfilling life if you don't allow yourself to be pulled into this, I guess, cattle farm and let off to the slaughter. So anyway, I appreciate you joining us, Tim. Find us on BitChute. Find us on Float.app and just check those links. So we also have a store where we sell merchandise. So if you want t-shirts and phone cases and stuff like that, make sure to check out our Teespring store. We haven't been able to make many sales on it, but we have, like, I think 50 different options on there. So make sure to check that out as well. And until next time, we'll be back with you guys with much more here at Wham. Happy New Year. Until next time, this is Josh Searson and Tim Pachote signing out from World Alternative Media. Find the truth. Be the change. Like what you see here at Wham, don't forget to check the links below. GoFundMe, Patreon. We cannot do it without you guys. Every donation is extremely, extremely appreciated as we're getting incredibly shadow banned. We've lost 80% of our audience since January of 2019 and counting. They are ripping us apart here on YouTube. And the only thing we could do in the meantime as we prepare for the next big step is to ask for help from the viewers that support our free information that we try to post on a daily basis. You can also find us on Subscribestar, where just a dollar a month, that's all it takes, a dollar a month is all it takes to truly make a huge difference. If everyone gave a dollar a month, it would change everything for independent media, and we could win this information war, and we can defeat the mainstream media's eventually. And of course, on Subscribestar, we post subscriber-only content that you'll only see on Subscribestar. So make sure to pledge there, become a patron. That makes a huge difference, guys. And also, don't forget to check out our Bitcoin address below in the comments and description, as well as on the screen for you to scan if you please. And also, don't forget to subscribe to us on the alternatives. We will likely be deleted by YouTube in the next 2 years. It's already happening on a vast scale. So make sure to find us on float.app. That's float.app. At Josh Sigurdsson, as well as at Wham, W-A-M. Float.app is replacing every social media, and I mean, it's just incredible the opportunities it provides for not just creators, but for the average person who wants to get away from these nannies telling them what they can or cannot see. They plan to replace Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, Tumblr, Reddit, and Patreon. You could subscribe to us on Float and pledge with cryptocurrency. It's really innovative. We are also on BitChute at World Alternative Media, as well as so many others. Minds, PocketNet. You can find us at World Alternative Media on Instagram. There's many options. And finally, don't forget to join us at Anarchapulco 2020, the famous event, the best liberty event known to mankind, other than perhaps Anarcho-Vegas 2020. There are two major events coming up that we are extremely excited about, and you can use promo code WAM, that's W-A-M, and save 10% on your tickets to these legendary conferences. There's so many amazing people speaking there. You won't want to miss it. So make sure to support in any way you can, even if it's just sharing our videos, pressing like, pressing to be notified. Anything helps, folks. You are the change you wish to see. Thanks for watching, everyone. And until next time, this is Josh Searson signing out from World Alternative Media. Find the truth. Be the change.
I'm sure you have already changed people's minds in your young age because you're involved, and I like that.